It's been 5 years since a magnitude 9 earthquake off the coast of northeastern Japan triggered a tsunami, killing more than 18,000 people. After that came the world's worst nuclear meltdown since Chernobyl. NPR's Elise Hu is in Tokyo this week. And Elise, describe how the Japanese have marked this day.
Well, 2:46 in the afternoon was an especially powerful moment to be in Japan today. That's the exact time the earthquake struck 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. The emperor, prime minister, and other leaders observed a moment of silence here in the capital. Along the coast, survivors gathered on beaches to release balloons into the air. But the Japanese have also marked this day with demonstrations.
What are people saying?
Well, those are the demonstrators who showed up outside the Japanese parliament today. They're saying, protect our children, preserve our future. The tsunami took out 300 miles of coastline in Japan, and the immediate loss of power led to the nuclear reactors melting down. A lot of public anger today still remains about why the meltdown wasn't prevented, why the government and Tokyo Electric Power Company weren't more transparent in the early days about what had happened. So time has passed, Kelly, but hard feelings certainly haven't gone away.
Well, how is the recovery effort going along the coast in the areas that were most affected by the tsunami?
160,000 people still can't go home. That's the number of displaced. In coastal towns, it's because their homes and neighborhoods were wiped out. You recall that of the people who died, most died in the flooding from the tsunami because that's how far inland the waves came. Around the plant, entire towns emptied out because of radiation threats. I visited some of the temporary homes where people are still living 5 years later. They live in neat rows of trailers. Some of them have satellite dishes. Others have vegetables growing in pots. Some of the elderly in these temporary housing projects say they feel like they'll never go home.
Wow. So it sounds like temporary housing is becoming something very different. I mean, what is the Japanese government saying about its progress up to now?
They give themselves mixed reviews. Officials talk a lot about how complex the situation is, given not only the tsunami damage, but also the radiation cleanup. The government in Japan did pick up the lion's share of the reconstruction and resettlement work, but the U.S. worked in concert with the Japanese, especially in those initial months. 20,000 American troops stepped in to help as part of something called Operation Tomodachi. Tomodachi means friendship.
And I understand you've been spending time in one of the areas that was the hardest hit. And you've got a story for us about an American project there. Tell us about that before we hear the story.
Right. I went to the Tohoku region to visit an exchange program for young people called the Tomodachi Initiative. One of the program alumni is in the town of Ishinomaki, where at dusk on top of a hill, you can look down at the bay, and the only lights on the coastline come from construction vehicles. A Shinto torii gate stands alone there, kind of framing the view. Natsumi Miyakawa says in the 2011 earthquake and tsunami, this hilltop location saved lives.
People came to escape to this hill, and there's a kind of legend that's been passed down generation to generation that says, when a tsunami happens, just escape to here.
In this coastal town alone, 3,700 people drowned in the tsunami. Miyakawa remembers the chaos and sadness of that time. The earthquake happened the same day she graduated from junior high.
Everything was scary.
She spent the next 10 days living in the gymnasium of her own school. It was turned into an evacuation center. She cleaned toilets and floors, filling buckets with water from the school swimming pool. She helped elderly evacuees that were huddled in the same gym.
Actually, I didn't want to stop because I knew that once I stopped, I would start thinking about really negative things.
Never experienced anything like it and hope to never experience anything like it again.
John Roos was U.S. ambassador to Japan during the crisis. He remembers a conversation with the mayor of Rizuken Takata, another hard-hit town.
Mayor Tobe said to me that our government is responsible for rebuilding our schools, our houses, our infrastructure. But the one thing that you can do is to provide hope for our younger generation.
That conversation sparked the beginnings of a project that continues today, the Tomodachi Initiative. It links the Japan earthquake's youngest survivors with opportunity through exchange trips to the U.S. Many students from this part of Japan would have never otherwise gotten to learn English or spend significant time in the States.
The one thing each of those children had in common was that they had suffered a terrible loss. And so part of it was just to give them a break from the day-to-day lives that they were experiencing, but the other was to give them hope about their future.
Miyakawa is one of the teens who took part. Now 20 years old, she's pursuing a future in nursing, focused on disaster medicine.
After disaster, I realized what it means to help someone to do what you can when you can.
Through the Tomodachi Program's Disaster Nursing Exchange, Miyakawa visited doctors and trauma centers in California and met with federal emergency management in D.C. Since the tsunami, 29,000 young people like her have participated in similar programs in fields they're interested in. But the value for young victims isn't best measured in numbers. It's in their bigger ambitions.
In the future, I want to work at all over the world for people fighting or suffering from something like disaster.
An experience she knows all too well. But from that experience comes her hope for helping others. Elise Hu, NPR News.